Good morning, and good to see everybody. Perhaps ask the Lord's blessing as we open the Word together. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and praise Thee for the privilege of being here this morning to remember our Lord and Savior, and also our God and Father, is to hear Thy Word. And our Father, we thank Thee for what's gone on before and pray that Thou wouldst continue in the mercy, that everyone here would be blessed. So we look to Thee and give thanks and all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him, amen. Thank you. I'm just a short guy, so I've been trying to get taller, but it's not worked. So you tend to get a little rounder, I noticed, down here. It must be the salt air. I'm not sure what it is. But my wife and I would like to thank you very much. We've come here for at least 29 years. I don't know. We're gauging on, my wife gauges on Bobby's age. And something along those lines. I do remember coming here 1 year, Myrtle Beach area, 1 year before you had the little meeting in the storefront just down the road. I remember that. So that's the only benchmark I can remember time-wise. So we've been coming a long time since we retired. We come down for about a month in November. And sometimes we can haul other Canadians with us, and sometimes we can't. So this time we're kind of by ourselves. But I want to thank you for your fellowship, your kindness. It's just a little oasis of the grace of God a long way from home. And it's appreciated. I'd invite you to come back with us. You'll see, hopefully I'll get these slides to work, you'll see probably a reason why you don't want to. It's that white stuff. But if you do come up, a couple have come. John and Janet have dropped in for a couple nights, and Mother Neal's been up. Come in the summertime. Okay, that's mid-June to towards the end of September. That's the window. That's very short, but that's when you'll enjoy our climate up there. Let's put it that way. Now, this morning, as I said, I hope to, after a bit, show a few slides of just some of the little things that the Lord has done for us and opened in a little place where I live, a place called St. John, New Brunswick, which is right next door to Maine. If you know where Bangor is, we're about roughly 3 hours from Bangor, going towards the east. I'd like to read a little portion in the Word of God, several little sections, starting in Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew. And what I'd like to touch on a little bit is the gospel, and I've never spoken on this so much before, but the Great Commission. So that's what I've been thinking about. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I've obeyed the Great Commission. I would like to say that, but it's not. So I find when I read these things here, they convict me in my life. So perhaps it's the difficult subjects that the Lord wants us to have a peek at. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm going to watch that clock. That's going to be an enemy. Okay. Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, and saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," or the end of the age. Amen. I'm going to touch on the other accounts in the New Testament where this is repeated, but there's a little difference among each one of them. Just to touch on these for a few minutes this morning. So flip over to Mark chapter 16. I will read a little bit where the Lord is speaking there. And the context of that, verse 14, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And for the sake of time, I'm going to jump to verse 19. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen." Now I'm going to read on Luke's account of this. Again, it's easy. It's the last chapter of Luke's gospel. And what Luke has to say. Through the Holy Spirit, verse 44 of the last chapter of Luke. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, And it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem and so on. Verse 53, the last 52, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now the last one is in John chapter 20, and it's just it's slightly different than the others because John presents the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So, beloved, this morning, those are the four aspects of what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. Now, I was thinking here, sitting this morning as Brother Neil was speaking, there's a couple of things in the Bible that are true, but I can't say I like them. Okay? One is the first commandment. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your soul, your mind. And we all say, if you're like me, never done that, can't do it. Oh, I'm off the hook. But we know we're not off the hook. That is the great commandment. Actually, if you could humanly do that, the other nine are not necessary. But God is gracious and he gives us all kinds of detail. Now, when I find, I'm using this as a comparative, when I look at the Great Commission of going into all the world and preaching the gospel, sometimes I'm like that. I want to get off the hook from that, okay? Because I find that very difficult. As Paul says, I'm in fear and trembling a lot of times when it comes to presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most wonderful thing, the most powerful message that there is, but I find it very, very difficult. Whether it's knocking on doors or going in an open-air meeting or whatever, just speaking to somebody I've worked with for 30 years and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, I find that very difficult. I'm easily intimidated, a little bit shy about that sort of thing, but the Lord says for us to do it, for me to do it. I'm going to use first-person singular here. But I find these very, very encouraging. Brother Mike spoke this morning about the eternal power in Godhead, really, in Romans chapter 1, of the Lord as seen in creation, and his attention to detail at the microscopic level in creation. That's fantastic. You know, when you stop and think about that. The sovereign power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I find that very, very encouraging. And here he's asking us to do one little thing. He's asking me to do this. He says, All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. And when you look at creation, his eternal power and Godhead. You look at his authority in the universe, he says, All power is given unto me. That's the kind of power that we have at our disposal, that I have when it comes to the gospel. Go ye therefore. There's the little word. Put the one brother on his letterhead, he says, put the G-O in gospel. Put the go in gospel. That's how the letterhead of his letters I put it. And that's it. Put the go in gospel. Now I take that to myself. Teach all nations. So first of all, in verse 18, all power. Verse 19, all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the formula for this. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always. So there's three alls in this little section, in this part of the Great Commission. All power, all nations, and the presence of God, I'm with you always. We have him. So this is Matthew's account of the king, okay? And so you see authority that's mentioned, because Matthew presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the king. Now, moving forward a little bit, in Mark's account, Mark presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant. And here when we look at in Mark's account of this great commission, we see something a little different. He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, or I should preface it by, first he upbraided them for their unbelief. And I know we've all been there, every last one of us, and did God really say that, or am I supposed to really do that? And Here he says, he upbraided them for their unbelief, but God is gracious. Lord Jesus is gracious. Said of them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, here we see something that's not in the other accounts. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We see the eternal consequences of the message of the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized in this case, but the consequences of not believing is eternal separation from God for all eternity. I am so thankful, I've said this here before, that in 1930, an Irishman from Northern Ireland came, moved to our area, and brought the gospel to my grandfather. Okay, this is the days of horses. He walked. He didn't have a Cadillac to drive 15 miles back into the country where my people, back in the sticks where they were. He walked, and when he came back there, he stayed all winter, okay, and worked in the woods, cutting down trees, logs, and so on, preaching the gospel every night in a one-room schoolhouse. And my grandparents heard the gospel. That was about 1930. I wasn't invented way back then, of course, but the gospel came into our family. Now, that's very, very important. I am so thankful that an Irishman, I emphasize that because I know some of you have Irish background, but came to the, I want to say, the heathen where I lived and brought the gospel to them. I'm so thankful for that. It's a wonderful thing. And now, five generations since my grandfather got saved, and my grandfather, or my grandmother, I never knew. She was gone to be with the Lord before I was born. My dad was 6 years old when she died. But in any case, the gospel came into our family, and now I can look at five generations. Hey, they're not all saved. But the grace of God has come into our family in five generations and saved a good number, which I'm thankful. Our 16 grandchildren, some of them aren't saved. And it's, please pray for our, we all do, pray for, covet your prayers for my grandchildren, and I'm sure your family connections as well. But it's the gospel. There's only hope in the gospel. There's no other hope. There's no other answer. For all the problems in the world, the answer is Christ. The answer is the gospel. It's his death, burial, and resurrection that produces this tremendous message. There is no solution, period. We think we a lot of times our society thinks it's, I need more education. We need more money. We need more freedom. We need more of this and so on and so on. We need Christ. That's the bottom line. There is no other answer, period. There's no other answer where I live or even down here in this favored land in which you live down here. But the eternal consequences, I have to watch my clock because I made a promise to Evelyn. Those clocks are speeding up. Mark presents the servant. What I want to bring out here says in verse number 19, the Lord working with them. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? It was God who works, Philippians chapter 2, in you to do his will and his good pleasure. God is working. We think we're doing all the work, okay? Couldn't be farther from the truth. We're much like Peter, who stumbled and so on until the Lord comes and does the work through the Holy Spirit. But here in Mark's account, it's the Lord that's working. Now, for the sake of time, I've got to pick up my feet here. Luke's account, the physician, he opens their understanding. He talks about that. That's not mentioned in the other sections. They were glad when they saw the Lord, and then he opened their understanding, and he's going to the law of Moses. He goes into the prophets and the Psalms, the Old Testament scriptures, as he opens. And that's the same chapter where he said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures? And here the Lord Jesus opens the scriptures so that they might understand that Christ had to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day. This is the only one, technically, that he talks about the resurrection in regards to the Great Commission. Now, it's certainly alluded to when he's at the right hand. There's no question about that. But here, he specifically speaks about the resurrection, rise from the dead the third day, in Luke's account of the Great Commission. And then he goes into the content of the gospel, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. The contents. Back home, sin is not understood. Generally in society. I don't know what it's like down here. People do not understand the consequences of their personal sins. Why do I need to repent? It's because of my sin. But I've talked to people who are my age, and I've gone through some things that, to talk about what the Bible says is sin, and it was a total blank. Like, I never heard that before in my life. People don't understand, where I live anyway, a lot of people don't understand what sin is. And if you don't understand the necessity of repentance, you'll never be saved. You need to understand that it's your personal sin that's going to take you to this lost eternity. You need to repent. Change your mind, your attitude, your thoughts about sin, or you'll never be saved. That's the bottom line. Repentance and remission of sin. So here in Luke's account, when he gives the Great Commission, he talks about the content of the message, and he mentions these two things. Now, the last one, before I jump over to the slides, in John's account, he brings out something else that's not mentioned on them before. He says in verse 21, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you." What I suggest is being brought to our attention here is the relationship with the Father. That's not mentioned in any of the other, when he speaks about the commission. He's sending them, but he says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Isn't that a marvelous thing? That John, who talks so much as the Son of, speaks, presents him as the Son of God, here he makes reference, to the Father. Something that's not mentioned in the others when he sends them forth. He said, "So send I you." And then, if you just took the verse about remittance of sin and the retention of sin, you'd say, "Ooh, that sounds like we got some apostolic authority here, and it's got to be this religious organization." My mind goes back to Matthew 16, where the Lord told Peter, "He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom." Peter used those keys in Acts chapter 2 for the Jewish people. He used them in Acts chapter 10 for the household of Cornelius, the Gentile people. It's the keys of the gospel. Revelation chapter 3, it says there, "The Lord has set before us an open door which no man can shut." Beloved, that's the door of the gospel. The door is still open today. The last soul has not been saved. I think we're living in the extreme end of things, and I heartily agree with Neil's remarks that he mentioned. I like that soapbox. Don't bother. It's good. It's right. It's what the authority of the Word of God says. We're living in the end times. And beloved, in view of that, I need to be more anxious about the gospel. And I'm thinking about my own family and in prayer and so on. And all these matters, I made a promise to Evelyn, so I'm going to get in trouble if I don't. I just want to show you a few slides of what's going on up there in view of the gospel. There's so many ways to present the gospel. The work in the seniors' homes down here is fantastic, especially that work with the young children. That is super. That is fantastic. The Lord opens different doors and different avenues in different places. It's not restrained to one method, okay? I wish in back home that the little building where we have a gospel meeting on Sunday night, I wish it was packed. But it's not. A lot of times people don't want to come into anything that looks like a religious building whatsoever because I don't want any commitment and so on and so on. So most of the time, you have to go to them, wherever they are. And whatever method that is, go. Because in the New Testament, that's what they did. They went to the marketplace. They went to Mars Hill. They went from door to door, house to house, the Scripture says. That's different ways that the gospel was presented. Now, all nations, I'm going to show a little bit of what's kind of encourages us a great deal back home. The Lord has opened a door, and I want to emphasize that. He opened the door. Okay? It's nothing that we did whatsoever. The only thing we have done, I can say, is say, "Lord, what do you want us to do? We need to do something." And what do we got here? No picture yet. Okay, takes a little while for it to warm up. This is the technical part that I'm concerned about. I'm not getting a picture. Oh, there she comes. Okay. That's... I don't know. Let's see. If I hit slideshow, it should work. Okay? I just want to show a few pictures. Okay. I don't know why that's over there. I haven't got a clue. This is Linux. We'll blame it on Linux versus Windows. I don't know. This is St. John where we live. It's a port city, as you notice. This is the Bay of Fundy. By the way, our tides are 25 feet. Yours are 5 feet. Okay, so in the spring of the year, it's 29 point something feet. Neil's quite taken up with the tides. That's a lot of water that comes in and out twice a day. Okay, here. So this is East St. John, this is West St. John, this is the old city. If you remember Samuel Lee Champlain, about 1604, again, I wasn't around, but he kind of parked his boat here and called the place St. John, or you know, it was probably just nothing but trees and rocks. It's the oldest incorporated city in Canada, and some places it looks it, but the people are very, very friendly. So the ships that come in to the port, where we actually, you see a little boat up there in the upper corner, it's the oil terminal. Now, I want to explain this. A year ago, a brother from Vancouver made a connection to us and said, I have a ship. It's coming to your port. Is there anyone that can go visit the port? Visit this captain. He is a Christian. His name is John Derelay. I do have a slide. I'll show you. Okay. His name is Ray Hanna. So I called Ray and said, sure, we'll go. What do you do? This is not our idea at all. Okay? Like, what do you do? What are we going to do? We've been asking the Lord of what would be a door that would open. And this opened up. So we tried to go through the Port Authority. Bang, bang, bang. There is a seafarer's mission on the west side over in this area. This is containers. This is tankers. This is cruise ships. They come in there. But in any case, to Neil's comments, the guys that are running an operation all wear their collars on backwards. You can go look at the site and look at their... They got their collars on backwards. And they have... how can I put this? I really didn't want to get tangled up. The best way I can put it. Okay? Because they don't present Christ. They present religion. And if you want to get one-stop shopping to come to the ship, they'll do your confession, they'll give you the rosary, they'll give you all this stuff. Okay? That is not the gospel. And I really didn't want to get tangled up with that. I knew where that would go. So the principle of separation when it comes to the gospel, the content of the gospel, you've got to keep it pure as you possibly can. So I really didn't want to get tangled up with them. They were very connected with port security. However, in the law in Canada, if the captain invites you on the ship, you can go. That's a federal law. Okay? The spiritual welfare of the sailors is what our government is. I'm sure it's the same down here. And if the captain or the authority says, come, you can go. So what are we going to do? We were just going... Ray was sending letters to the port security. The guy wouldn't even talk to us because he's very linked up with the other clergy system. So we weren't getting anywhere. So, pray and go. The middle of December, like I said, we did get on this first ship here and visited, but as far as getting on other ships, it was blocked. So we prayed and went. So we went to... I used to work in the oil refinery, so I used to be helping load these ships or working in that business. And I went to the guard shack, security gate, polite word. Sorry, old words just slip into my vocabulary. And the guard says, I wish you could talk to my boss. He didn't know what to do. You know, I could show him paperwork. I'd show him this is the law. And I didn't want to be rude, but he just is a guard. He just scratched his head. Nice fellow. Said, I don't know what to do. I wish you'd talk to my boss. And he slipped out the guy's first name. His first name was Miles. And there's not many Miles guys by that name. And I said, Miles Parley? He said, yeah. I said, I've known him now for 30 years. Miles is a Christian, by the way. I didn't know he had this job. He's in charge of compliance for port security for Irving Oil Limited, which is the company I work for. So I was worried. The Lord opened the door, bottom line. I called Miles. I didn't get him right away. He called me back in a couple hours. And he said, I know exactly what you're doing, and I know exactly what the law is. And you're allowed. Okay? But you have to have permission from the captain. Okay? So I just want to show you, pray and go, because we were getting nowhere. So I just said, well, let's go to the security and knock on the door. That's what we did. So, the Lord opened the door. I just want to emphasize that. If you have an exercise about anything or you don't know, you ask the Lord. He'll open the door. Lord, I want to do something with the gospel. Give me somebody to talk to.
open the door, show me what I'm supposed to do. He'll do it. Okay? He'll do it. But at the time, you say, oh, that's what I asked for. It's not convenient now. He'll do it. And you'll know that he's doing it right now. Okay? That's reality. God is real. Prayer is real. And that's the way it works. He works, not us. He works. So anyway, on we went into the ship. Now you move down a little bit. I'm getting so much. This will give you an idea. This is the ports. There's two ships here. They have to move basically 300,000 barrels a day. It's processed in the refinery where I worked for 36 years. Basically, you got to get out 280,000, 260,000 barrels. It's got to move every day because we don't keep the stuff. Okay? We sell it to you guys, by the way. A lot of it. 30% of the jet fuel in Boston Logan comes from this refinery. So I'm shooting at the two ships across. You see this white stuff? It's about February there. And that's where I live. This is East St. John. I want to talk a little bit about the ships so you... Everyone's going to shoot me. This is where they live. Okay? The guys all live here. On each ship, there's about 20 to 21 guys. Half officers and half... What's the right word? Crewmen, if you will. They have different words, ratings and so on. But the guys that actually get their hands dirty are the crewmen. To give you an idea, this is where they live. This is all an open tank. Okay? Okay? And the water is 45 feet high in the North Atlantic. That's not the nicest place to be. The ratings are on contract for about 8 to 9 months. A lot of them are Filipino. Some are Indian that I've run into. Some are domestic. But the foreign ones, the guys, are 9 months away from their wife, their children, their family. And it's lonely. Okay? Very lonely. And I'm getting... I hear some cadets that have jumped overboard. I just heard that the other day. Okay? So it's not a... It's not Disneyland. Okay? The officers are on for about 4 months. A lot of officers, whether you've got Russian officers and Filipino crew, that's one of the combinations that we have in this area. So this is the bridge where they steer the ship. This is the control room where they load the ship down about three floors down. They live under here, and then under here there's about a big three-story cavity. Guys that work around the ships would... Okay, where the engine is. I think it's a 14,000 horsepower engine, to give you some idea. And you ask them, they'll give you a tour. The guys love to talk about their machinery. Mm-hmm. And it's all kinds of processes, all stuck in a little section about here. And it's quite fantastic. But anyway, to give you an idea, I wanted to show you that. So these guys are living in this big tin can, some of them for 9 months. And they go home for three, back for nine. Economics in the Philippines, they have to work. And this is a way of life which is discouraging. This is Brother Ray Hanna and Wes in Surrey, in Vancouver. These are Filipino men. Ray is what we call a long drink of water. He's about 6'6", and a very friendly, nice guy. Great. I just wanted to show you, so you have an idea, meet Ray. This is one of the ships that he sent me a picture of in October. It's a ship that's from Egypt. You'll notice the Arabic writings. These men, some of these are Ray's friends. I don't know the color code, but these definitely are officers. And these men are all Egyptian, all Muslim. Okay? The ship was in port 3 days, which is a long stay. This is the container ship or a cargo ship. And for 3 days, they're able to visit these guys and have some Bible studies and speak with them. And Ray was very encouraged about that. So pray for this Egyptian ship called the Al-Hadabah, whatever. Pray for these men. Now, this is his brother works. He lets me work with him. I guess I'll put it that way. Brother Paul in St. John. This is Captain John Derelay. Please pray for him. His wife is not saved. She's RC. Very RC. Filipinos are Roman Catholic. I've met a couple Baptists and something called the Born Again Religion. Born Again, which is a denomination over there. Predominantly Roman Catholic. A lot of them refer to me as Father. I get sort of weary of explaining it. After a while, I sort of quit. But this man here is a born-again Christian, a really lovely man. He actually came out to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Captain John Derelay. He just retired. He's about early, maybe 63. A real gentleman, a father image to these men. I just noticed the way that they come in and speak to him. When he came in, he had about 15 of the 25 of them working. And we were able to have a little gospel message, tell how we got saved, a word of prayer. Paul prayed with them. Sorry about Paul's eyes there, but my photography is all cell phone. So it's you see some selfies. Okay. This, very quickly, this is a loading officer on the Palenka Rio. It's loading asphalt. Some of the asphalt actually comes down as far as Florida. This man's name is Hans. They had a real good talk with him. He wanted to talk. Once the officers came in, the opportunity went away. It's interesting. The captain, he, as soon as he saw what I was doing, he made himself scarce. That's power in the gospel. So the first officer was saying, oh yeah, there's a little captain sneaking away. But anyway, this to give you an idea, these men are from Russia. And this is Paul. Here's part of the problem. They want to feed you. Okay, we used to go 10:30 in the morning. You're usually there 2 to 3 hours. Just whatever time it takes. And they're very hospitable. These men are very, very pleasant men. This is a Filipino, the steward. This is the officer's mess. One side of the ship will be officers, dining room, not mess, and crew, okay, ratings. They call it the mess. So anyway, I don't know why, but some of you old English sailors might know. These are Filipino men, just to give you an idea. This is what the material that we actually leave, so you just get an idea. These are Gospel of John's in Tagalog. Make sure I get that right. This is Ultimate Questions in English. These are texts, God of Wonders. They love. These are Canadian pencils. This is Gospel of John in English. Some things I can remember. They love stickers. These are Canadian stickers. You know, the Canadian flags and all that. They love stickers. They put them on their windshields back home. It works. Ray said, try stickers. Yeah, it works. The guys love them. So those are some of the things. These men are all Filipino. Very friendly at their lunch. This is, these men are Indian, 100%. This man here was the cook or the cook's assistant. Sometimes I can't tell, or sometimes I forget, because this year we've been able to go on 30 ships, so sometimes you forget. Very friendly men, and we talk a little bit about the Lord. As I don't preach at them, okay? If they want to, we will. But it's mostly one-on-one. You never know where you're going to hit on the ship. You could speak to one, two. The captain may say, come, I want to speak to you. And we may spend 2 hours with him. It doesn't, you never know what's going to happen. The Lord leads according to what it is. These men, as I say, from India, very nice. And I'm hoping to make some contacts with these men. And Brother Sid has offered if there's some follow-up work, because he has so many contacts in India. India is a huge country, a huge population. This is Paul and Captain DaCosta. He's from Goa. If I get it right. And this man was, he was up all night, and he brought the ship, and the ships are in for about 12 to 18 hours, depending on the tides and what's going on, how fast you can load. This man, when he heard we were coming on the ship, he called the loading officer and says, tell him I want to speak to them. And he dressed up, this is about 11 o'clock in the morning after working all night, he dressed up like this, brought us up into his stateroom, which is just under the bridge. Mm-hmm. So he's got an office, he's got a meeting room, and he's got his own quarters. He brought us up there. We had a lovely time with this man. He's Roman Catholic, but his knowledge of the Word of God was excellent, especially about prophecy. So we had a lovely conversation with him, and then he invited us for lunch, and we ate with him. So just pray for this man. DaCosta, his first name is Sagios or something like that. Or Sergios. I'm not sure exactly. I have it written in a log at home, but I didn't bring that with me. I didn't know this was going to happen. So just so you... This gentleman here is from Turkey. He is the captain. He's about 34 or 5 years old. A Muslim ship, 100% Muslim. I call Miles because he tells me what's the nationality of the crews. Before I go on, and he'll tell me they're all Muslim, he says, you probably won't get on, but you can try. I said, well, I've got nothing to lose. Knock. Okay, because I have been refused Muslim ships. We've been refused 3 or 4 ships this year, but 90% chance of getting on the ship. But he's the boss. The captain is the man. I want to emphasize that. The captain is king. Totally. That's it. And that's the way it runs. This man is very well-educated, 4 years of university. I was, Paul wasn't listening that day. He gave me that hot or that terrible coffee that could stand a spoon up in it, and a glass of water, because He knew what we were up against. But we talked with this man, talked with him for an hour, just about things in general. Then we had lunch together, and then we talked about the scriptures. Everybody knows the gospel. I say that in varying degrees. This man is 100% Muslim. He's from Turkey. He said, I'm a Muslim, but I don't believe in Muslim religion in Turkey. He knew about the Dead Sea Scrolls, very well educated. I don't remember his name, but he's the only one we talked to. These other two gentlemen are part of his crew, probably first and second mate. These guys, this is a loading, where they're doing the loading of the ship, and you just don't dump it all in the front, or you'll break the ship. Okay, so they load it, depending on ballast and so on, a bunch of other things, so you will break the ship. So these men are doing that. They're very, very polite men. Very clean. Squeaky clean. That ship is pristine. This is a man from India. This is the captain, right here. This is a cadet. This is the first mate. Very interesting conversation with this man. He was a Hindu. He had a tattoo of his god on his forearm. I'm not going to put sit in the spot, but I forget the name of it, Gmosh or something like that. And he was Hindu. I said, well, I don't know much about Hinduism. Can you explain? And he talked to me for about 20 minutes, 33,000 gods, six big major ones, and he talked. So I listened. And I said, well, Christianity is a little different. And I started talking about sacrifice. He understood sacrifice, Old Testament sacrifice. And finally, talked about the sacrifice of Christ. He said, that is good news. I never heard that before. Mm-hmm. And just we were finishing up, I said something about God being just and the justifier. That's good. Okay. Then he had to go to work. So we talked to him about 40 minutes. I stayed for lunch. I had lunch with this gentleman. He was not interested in the gospel. He had a cell phone. He showed me a picture of his God, which is a short, chubby guy with an elephant's face. And I can't remember the name. But he was so pleased and so enthused about his God. He was getting married soon, and he talked about it, but I couldn't break through the gospel with him. There was just no interest. Just as I was leaving the ship, I took this picture, which I'm not allowed to publish, I was told. But anyway, he said, it's okay for private. The captain came in the room for a minute, and he looked at me and said, just and the justifier. Good. You know? I may never see this man again. But it's a door the Lord opened, and I find it very encouraging. These men are Filipino, so you get the idea. They have kind of a little lounge area, and then their dinner tables are in the back, and then there's the kitchen, and then there's the officer's mess. It's the way it's all laid out. These are very nice. These men are very, very friendly, very pleasant to talk to. The standard package you see. Those are Filipino New Testaments, those brightly colored. Oops, I'm taking two there. For some reason they hold them up, I don't know. These are other men. I had a nice chat with this gentleman here. He's about 50 years old. And he was saying that a life at sea is not the best. That's all, I'll leave it. We had a nice chat with him. The other fellow is holding up the selfie camera. And a couple men we saw recently. I think this man said he had a sister who was a Christian. I'm moving fast. Everyone's going. These guys, they all hold up the thing. I'm not sure if it's a customary thing. It's important to eat with these men if they invite you. Eating is very important. And I got a lecture from one of the Filipinos that hospitality in their culture is very important. So the food is good on the ship. It is very good. Okay? Sometimes a little hot, but it's very, very good. And it's important to eat with these men and be with you. This man is a Christian. He told me he was. And he's Baptist back in the Philippines. But I've only met a couple Christians on the ships. But this man is. And these are Filipino guys. This is a lady officer. There's not many, but there are some. This is a domestic ship. In other words, they have Canadian or U.S. crews. And there'll be no foreign crews in this. Okay, they're domestic. I've been on a few. I have gone. I find they're not that open to the gospel compared to foreigners. Okay, that's just an opinion. But we still go on. Paul probably wasn't too happy about me getting to take a picture with this lady. Her name's Nicole. Gave her a CD called Unconditional Love, which is out of print, but it's very, very good. And she said, "Oh, take a picture and put me in your magazine." So there you go. Her name is Nicole. You can pray for her. Young lady who's learning to be an officer.
I've seen one woman cook and one man had his wife on the ship. But you don't see women very much. This is just before we left home. These men are from India. A nice time with these men. There's a lot more men around, but just a chance to... This man, I believe, is Tamil. This man is the electrical engineer. He's had 30 years at sea. But he is Hindu. And for whatever reason, there's a lot of activity going on. He wanted to sit beside me and just kind of talk. I think they're lonely, but there's a lot of activity. And there's Evelyn. I'm going to be in trouble. Last slide. Okay. This is Carlene's mother. She is 100 years old. And somehow my text, this says working together. Okay? She's putting the labels on Gospel of John's. These are in Filipino language. She's doing that. Now, have you seen the stickers? We get them at the dollar store. 24 on a sticky pit. What do you call those sticky pit? She cuts them out. She's cut out 100 pages of those stickers. 24 stickers on a page. She cuts them out. So she's at 100 years old, still working in the gospel. So that's our story. The Lord deserves all the credit. This was not our plan. He opened the door. And he's making it happen. And I'm going to just close in prayer. Thank you, our God and Father, for the privilege of being here and opening the scriptures, sharing a little bit of gospel work that's going on back home. And Father, yes, I bless you on this assembly. Bless each and every one, and we thank you for them and for the food and all the good things that are prepared. And thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.